Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. One thing to look forward to, if that's the right term, in 2017 is the beginning of a seven-year, $2 billion renovation of the George Washington Bridge. The plan includes 11 individual projects that range from replacing cables to removing lead paint. My next guest is Neil Weissman, former president of the New York Cycle Club, who thinks that the Port Authority is leaving out something critical. The seven-year plan will keep cyclists on a path just 7 feet wide, even as ridership is taking off. Neil, welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thank you, and thank you for giving airtime to this issue.
And I can tell you, as somebody who has enjoyed multiple times both riding my bike across the George Washington Bridge and walking as a pedestrian across the George Washington Bridge, that it does not feel safe. It's just too narrow. I don't know, as a pedestrian, when I'm going to get rear-ended by a bicyclist who doesn't see me, or as a bicyclist, you're just handlebar to handlebar when people are going two ways. So there is a plan to change that, right?
Correct. There is basically the – it's a plan – you want to bring this out to national standards. I mean, this is not – your perceptions are confirmed. Federal Highway Administration has an A to F grading system based on the width of the path and the number of people who use it. The port of the current facility is an F, basically means you should expect there to be conflicts. That's the polite way of putting it. The ask is that, you know, you've got – this only gets done when bridges are taken apart and put back together, these kind of renovations. This is the only opportunity to do this.
And there is a plan for some additional space, right?
There's a plan. There's an image. It's not a technical proposal per se. I've left the Legos at home.
They don't work well on the radio anyway.
If people go into the website completegeorge.org, they can see a picture of it. Essentially, it's a Williamsburg Bridge on the Hudson. That's the best way to envision it if you don't have a picture right now.
So listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls. Anybody who walks or bikes the George Washington Bridge have a comment or a question? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What do you want for the bridge, for the bikes and pedestrians?
Build it out to national standards. I mean, you've got guidance from federal transportation agencies. You've got best practices from cities around the world. You've got New Jersey and New York master plans. They all prioritize active transportation, biking and walking. The Port Authority needs to support this. This is 2017. And right now, it's not a priority.
But again, there is – and maybe you can explain what they are proposing, because they are proposing some additional space for bikes and pedestrians,
right? Now, their plan is to open up the north path, to replace the 10 flights of stairs with ramps, and to build up anti-suicide barriers. Effectively, they're going to put it back to what it was in 1931.
Because they're it – I mean, in my experience with it – there's only a path, a shared path for the bicyclists and pedestrians on the south side of the bridge.
Correct.
And so they're going to open up an additional path.
They're going to open up the north path. But the problem is that we're growing cyclists at 10% a year. So so if you got 3,700 cyclists a day now, and that's the third heaviest bike bridge in the city, you know, you open it up, that's still half the width of the Williamsburg Bridge. And by the time this thing opens –
and
we're
going
to have more cyclists.
With an additional path, is the plan to have pedestrians on one side,
yes,
and bicyclists, two-way,
yes,
traffic on the other?
Yes.
But not wide enough is what you're saying.
But not wide enough.
How many people do ride the George Washington Bridge? You said it's the third most used bridge for bicyclists in the city?
NYC DOT has traffic counts of 3,700 a day on the weekends. That puts it behind the Williamsburg and the Manhattan and ahead of the Brooklyn and the Queensboro.
Let's take a phone call. Sheila in Washington Heights has a history question on just what you were talking about. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Go ahead. I think we lost Sheila somehow. Her question was, why did they close the north side in the first place?
They keep one side open at a time, but right now the north side has 10 flights of stairs, 171 steps. So practically they try not to use it. It's not, you know.
Steps? Because it's a steep ramp to get from, you know, from the streets of Manhattan up onto the bridge span. A very steep ramp, like mm-hmm. some of it is a kind of circular
it's
or spiral
ramp. It's a hairpin,
a
5% grade, yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, probably a lot of people have to walk their bike up it. But is there any alternative? But the other side is steps, you're saying. So
correct.
It's even more prohibitive.
Right. That's what it is right now.
And is there a plan to do anything about the steps?
They are looking at removing the steps, but that's not going to be enough. If you only give cyclists a single 7-foot path, you're still looking at, you know, what would be 9,000 cyclists a day by the time this thing opens in 2024, it won't handle it. And it also won't be, you know, it won't be up to national standards. It won't be up to AASHTO spec. It won't have protection from liability. If people get into an accident, Port Authority can say, look, whoops, sorry, you got to walk.
Justine in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justine.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I used to cycle over to George Washington regularly when I was living in Manhattan, and now I take the Triborough more because I work in the Bronx. But one thing I want to point out is that the problem with the paths is not just the width, which is certainly a problem, only 7 feet, you know, that has to be shared by cyclists, you know, going two ways and pedestrians. But from one thing I remember is that in a couple of places, the path takes very sharp turns, you know, where the bridge towers are. And the sight lines are really, really bad. And so, you know, I almost clipped and got clipped by other cyclists and, you know, and have almost hit pedestrians. And I've actually seen it happen. I've actually seen other people crash.
Yeah, Neil. Hi. The paths right now, Port Authority has signs limiting cyclist speeds and requiring that cyclists walk those sections. They're also not planning on improving those sections as part of what they're doing, you know, between now and 8 years from now.
So, and Justine, thank you for your call. It's hard to widen a bridge. They can't actually widen the bridge, right? And they need the car width lanes for the cars. So how do you widen the bicycle and pedestrian paths, particularly the bicycle path, because that's the one, obviously, that requires more width. How would they even do it?
You have to cantilever out. Every 63 feet, you've got the cables that support. You would basically put the cantilevers out every 63 feet and put a ramp across. Every engineer I've spoken to is saying this is the sine qua non. They have to do it this way.
Have you costed that out? What would it cost the taxpayers?
The hard number I have is really anecdotal from the Port Authority itself. They said, look, write us a check for $90 million. We'll do it. And I was like, okay, well, I have to take that at face value.
$90 million.
Yes.
So sell the public that this is worth their $90 million.
Oh, okay. I would say public health benefits. You're a graduate of the Mailman School.
Public Health. Uh-huh.
School of Public Health. Thank you.
Columbia.
The World Health Organization has a model for quantifying the value of health benefits from investment in cycling infrastructure. I ran the model on the GWB, you know, based on the amount of people that that a widened path can have. The benefit saves about 20 lives a year, $200 million in health care costs. If cycle tourism, the state of New Jersey has priced out that they'd make $500 million a year on cycle tourism, active transportation. You know, extend that to the lower Mid-Hudson Valley, that's $175 million. If you impair that even 10%, that's $17 million a year.
Lindsay in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be on the show today. I've been in the city for 10 years. I love riding into different areas, but I don't ride the George Washington anymore. The last time I did, the railing's only at hip height, so it sort of feels unsafe if you get squeezed between the railing and pedestrians. And the last time I went over, I had to take the ferry back. I actually work in Weehawken and Midtown, so I would love to take the bicycle back and forth, but I pay the $18 a day to take the ferry instead.
Wow. I would say
High cost for safety.
Your perceptions are consistent with what the federal model says about what this, you know, about how safe the facility is now.
Are there, thank you, Lindsay, are there stats for actual accidents?
Not that I'm aware of. Anecdotally, I know many people who have had, you know, who've had collisions with other cyclists.
So what's the process here for people who care about this issue if this renovation of the George Washington Bridge is going to begin in 2017? And it sounds like from your description that this is not set in stone what they're going to do with the bike and pedestrian lanes. If anybody cares enough, what's their recourse?
I would say first follow Complete George on Facebook. We've got links to city council members. Ask them to support Resolution 1072-2016, which is calling on the PA to do this. Send a message to the New York and New Jersey governors. They are both very pro-tourism. In January, the Port Authority is going to release a draft of its 10-year capital plan, ask that wider GWB paths are added. If you represent an organization or a business that wants to add their names to the 140 that are already there, reach out to me. You know, there's a contact form on the Complete George page.
And since we have a few seconds left, I see, according to the Port Authority, Sunday is the busiest day for cyclists on the bridge. You mentioned it peaks on the weekends, which suggests that it's most popular for recreation. Should commuter projects get more of this money rather than recreational ones?
Right now, the bridge justifies the expense purely on the weekend travel. If we were to lose a Trans-Hudson Tunnel, at that point, we lose 75% of our rail traffic in and out of the city. We're going to need everything to make up the difference, just like the East River bridges were put into service after Superstorm Sandy.
Neil Weissman, past president of the New York Cycle Club, who thinks the Port Authority is leaving out something critical in its 7-year George Washington Bridge renovation plan. It'll keep cyclists on a path just 7 feet wide for two-way traffic, even as ridership is taking off. Thank you for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you, Brian.